I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Live from the Bluff Restaurant and Sports Bar Studios on 92.9 FM, ESPN.
On Saturday, a little after 11 a.m. local time, a sellout crowd is going to be inside FedEx Forum to watch the tip of a non-league college basketball game between the University of Memphis and the University of Tennessee, the latter of which just beat Gonzaga on a neutral court, moved to number 3 in the Associated Press poll. I've got the Vols number 2 at CBS Sports, only one spot behind top-ranked Kansas. The person who has built Tennessee into a legit national championship contender is a man who has incredibly coached in 20 of the past 23 NCAA tournaments, made Sweet 16 six different times, made the Elite Eight three different times. He coached in the 2003 Final Four, and he's been the coach of the year in three different leagues, a total of six different times, most recently last season when he was named SEC Coach of the Year. I am, of course, talking about Rick Barnes, and he joins me now. Rick, it's Gary. I can't thank you enough for being here.
Hey, Gary, how you doing?
Everything's good, man. You been all right?
Yeah, I'm doing good. You know, we obviously had a good weekend last weekend, and a game with Gonzaga where it was just one of those March Madness kind of feels. You know, Mark Few's just done an incredible job with his program at Gonzaga, and everyone knows that. And they did a great job of the Jerry Colangelo Classic, really getting making it a big deal. We all know what Jerry Colangelo means to basketball, and it was really a hard-fought game both ways, and we were able to make some plays down the end, and we're able to come away with that win.
It was a terrific win and a terrific basketball game. It wasn't just a big win. It was a fun game, back and forth, two teams, two high-level teams playing at a high level. What, if anything, did you learn about your team in that Gonzaga game?
Well, I think the biggest thing, if you go back to, and we talk about it often, a year ago when we were down in the Bahamas at the beginning of the year, we won a really good game against Purdue. Then we came back and played a half where we were up, I think, over double digits against, Villanova. But they came out and they just knocked us out. And I think our guys learned a lot from that in terms of how what it really does take to play the way you've got to play for 40 minutes. And then this year we were ready for the Kansas game. We were way too emotional. You go back and I tell you, if you look even in the middle of the game when we were making big shots, we were jumping around like you thought you had won the game. And then you go back to Saturday when Admiral made the 15-foot jump shot or the bank shot, one it banked in.
Right.
We ran back, had our best defensive transition possession of the day. And then when he knocked down the other three, Gonzaga is as good an offensive team as you play against, and they're very fast. They put that ball on us so quickly, but it was our second. It was, a two straight great transition defensive plays. And you think about the two threes they shot, they were heavily guarded. And, we were really wanting to foul on that last one, but Admiral just didn't feel like he was in a position to do it without maybe, giving up a three-point shot. And those two plays are the plays that we did not make in the Kansas game. Once we got down in the Kansas game, I felt like we didn't stay with who we are and what we're about, and we were quick shooting it, and those quick shots turned into a couple of easy baskets for Kansas at really the crunch time of the game. And if you go back to the game Saturday, we closed out the first half in a great way, and then we obviously closed out the game the best we've done in any of the situations we've been in like that.
I'm talking to Rick Barnes, head coach, Tennessee Volunteers, are ranked 3rd in the Associated Press poll. They're going to be inside FedEx Forum on Saturday, sold out. Their opponent, of course, will be the University of Memphis. Let's back up a bit to October 2017. You're coming off a 16-16 season. You're picked 13th in the preseason SEC poll. You then win 26 games, a share of the school's first SEC regular season title in a decade, advanced to end the NCAA tournament, and now your team, like I said, ranked 3rd in the country with the lone loss in OT to the team that's now ranked number 1. How exactly do you go from there to here? How do you pull this off? Because it really is remarkable and possibly unprecedented.
Well, obviously the credit goes to the players. I mean, they bought in. But, I go back to that game, you said 2 years ago, and it was really a pivotal point in our program. When we got here, there had been some really good coaches here, but there just hadn't been stability.
Right.
And we came into a group that had a couple different coaches, and I understand that, you know, what do you believe right now at this point in time in your career? You've been here, you've had different coaches, and so when we first got here, Kevin Punter was the one player in the program that truly bought in to what we were about and what we're about in terms of our culture. And then Admiral Schofield was a freshman, Kyle Alexander, a freshman, Lamonte Turner came in and had to sit that year, and then we had two walk-ons in Brad Woodson and Lucas Campbell. Those are the guys that have really laid our foundation. And people forget, we were picked 14th one year, 13th the other year. In both of those first 2 years, we were a bubble team heading into February.
Right.
And Kevin Punter got hurt and went down, and we just couldn't afford losing 22 points in our starting lineup. You know, we couldn't make it up. And then a year later, Robert Hubbs was having his best career here, and then he has knee problems. The last five games, he goes from averaging like 15 a game to averaging just a little bit over three, and we weren't good enough, tough enough to overcome that. And after that game, our last game, it was a very emotional time in the locker room with Robert playing his last game, and the team was very emotional. The season's over with, but we get on the bus 15 minutes later, and you would have just thought we won the national championship.
Mm.
And that really bothered me, and we went back to the hotel, and I did something I never do. I brought him into after we had a meal there, and I told him, I said, when we get back from, we had a week off, I think, with spring break, which you don't ever want to do if you're a basketball team. And I said, we're going to find out who wants to be here. And if you go back and look at our roster, there were guys that weren't here because we truly, and I hadn't done that, Gary, I'm telling you, in 20 years, where the spring was the hardest we could possibly make it. And that was with Grant and them being freshmen. And they would tell you today, it was the hardest thing they ever did. They didn't even know they were on the basketball team. They thought they were on the track team.
Hmm.
But they looked back and said it was a pivotal turning point in our program. But it took us 2 years to get there. And then last year, you don't do what we did if your players aren't talented. I don't care what anybody says. Everybody talks about our two stars, three stars, four stars. I mean, that's just somebody else putting a number on a star on somebody. But We have a group of guys that are really into each other. They want to help each other. You know, the motto of our program is it's not about me. And they truly have worked hard, and they deserve the credit. And I tell people every chance I get, I think I've got the best coaching staff in the country, and Rob Lanier, Mike Schwartz, and Des Oliver, and the rest of our support staff. And it's just, there's no secret to it. These guys have just gone to work, and we're not trying to do anything except just be the, we don't have any magic dust that we can sprinkle on anybody. It's just guys coming in and working and staying the course.
Talking to Tennessee coach Rick Barnes, his Vols ranked third in the country. They're going to be inside FedEx Forum on Saturday playing the University of Memphis. The game is already sold out, more than 18,000 tickets. You mentioned Grant Williams, 6'7" junior, leading scorer, averaging 19.9 points, leading rebounder, 9.3 rebounds, shooting 57% from the field, 46% from three-point range. He was one of those three-star prospects. Clearly the recruiting analyst missed something, or you have developed him in an incredible way. What did you see that other people didn't?
P.J. Tucker.
You know,
P.J. Tucker, very, very similar. You know, P.J. was from Raleigh, North Carolina, while we were at Texas, and we went in to recruit him. He was my college roommate, who coached in North Carolina for over 35 years, told me, said, all I can tell you about P.J. Tucker is that he never loses. And you go to see him, he came out the door, you thought you were looking at a football player, but he wasn't in shape. But, you know, we believe in our individual improvement program, our player development program, and we felt like, hey, we're going to get him in shape. And he came to Texas, Big 12 Player of the Year, and when we saw Grant Williams, that's exactly who we saw. And Grant came in here not in great shape. And to be quite honest, to the people that put stars on him, they looked at a guy that was overweight. Sometimes he played hard, sometimes he didn't. But I saw P.J. make one play. I saw Grant make one play where he spun baseline and went up, I couldn't believe how high he exploded and dunked the ball. And so you knew he had it in him. You just had to get it out of him more and more. What people don't talk about, and you said that he was 6'7", but he's got a 6'11" and three-quarter wingspan.
Mm.
And, you know, Admiral Schofield's got a 6'10 and a half wingspan. So that's, to us, is more important than, you know, 7 feet and can't play, or 6'7" and can play and can move. And, And that's, we saw him, and he came to our elite camp, and there was no doubt from the time he left our elite camp and we had to spend a couple days with him, a day with him, he became a major target, and we never backed off. And you know, his mom wanted him to go to the Ivy Leagues, but he wanted to play at the highest level, and no one in North Carolina at the highest level really offered him, and so we got him. And he came in. If you ever look at his before and after pictures, his body, you'd see how hard he's worked, and he deserves all the credit for it.
Talking to Rick Barnes, Tennessee coach here on 92.9 FM ESPN. You mentioned Admiral Schofield earlier. He was the star against Gonzaga. 30 points, 25 of which came in the second half. Two big threes, final 80 seconds. Afterward, and I don't know if you saw this, but he did an on-court interview with Sean Farnham, and he said he's never really wanted to be the leading scorer or rebounder, never cared about scoring 30 in a game. He said, quote, "I just want to be Coach Barnes' favorite player." And I never really heard a player put it like that. Like, I just want to do all the things my coach wants me to do so that I can make him happy. I want to be his favorite player. Is Admiral your favorite player?
Well, I'll tell you what I will tell you about Admiral. When he hit that shot, and I'm not kidding you, and people think, what do you think? And when we drew up that play and we knew we were going to go to him, there's no doubt we're going to put the ball in his hand. And it was his play, whether he shot a three or whether he put it on the floor and decked it and went and made a play, made a pass, whatever. But when he shot that ball and it went in, I put my head down, and what I really thought about was how many hours I've watched that guy in the gym by himself over 4 years working. And I think any coach would tell you their favorite players are always the guys that work the hardest, and you know they have a passion to maximize everything that God has given them. And when you think about that, I've had a couple guys that have done that, but I will say this, I haven't coached anybody that works any harder than Admiral. And I think he's just getting started, and he knows, you know, he knows what work is about. He's not afraid of it. And the other night, you know, he wasn't happy with the way he played in the Kansas game, and but he came out the other night. He was very, very focused, and like I said, any coach loves players that you know that are going to do what he said, and he does. He does really care about winning. You know, you think about it. He's been here 4 years. Grant came in. Last year was player of the year, and I would make a case that the last 3 weeks of the season, Admiral Schofield was player of the year in the SEC because he, granted, sort of hit the wall a little bit and was nursing a little bit of a hip injury that he had, and Admiral really came through big. And people thought the other day, you know, Grant made a very unselfish play. He came in the day after we got back and said, "Coach, did I do the right thing fouling when I fouled out of the game?" I said, "In that situation, you absolutely did. Now, early in the game, you might let it ride, but in that situation, that would have been a tremendous momentum changer if we would have just let him dunk the ball and score." But people forget that last year, Grant fouled out of the conference championship game against when we were playing Georgia, and Admiral, again, was the guy that made the big shot, and Kyle Alexander was the guy that made a great defensive play. And so we told our guys, we can't be a team that stands around waiting to see what Grant's going to do or what Admiral's going to do, and like today in practice, you would have been impressed watching those two guys making Kyle Alexander, making John Fulker say, "You guys have got to give us more," and getting after them to make them, "We need you guys." And it's really neat watching those guys do that, and that's when you know you're starting to become the team you want to be, is when your players are really coaching the other players to say, "Hey, we need you, and we're going to need you." And it was pretty neat, the way those guys, and even when we were watching film the other day, Admiral said to Grant, "I'm sorry I put you in that situation, but that play right there, we wouldn't have won the game if you hadn't have tried to make a play on that." And he was absolutely right.
That's super interesting. I'm talking to Rick Barnes, Tennessee coach, going to be in town this weekend playing the Tigers inside FedEx Forum. I mentioned you're going to be coaching against Penny Hardaway. When he was, you were at Providence when he was a high school prospect and a star at Memphis. What, if anything, do you remember about him as a prospect or a player?
Oh, I remember him while I was at Providence. We recruited. We were really recruiting in Memphis a lot. hoping we could sneak one out of there. And I remember when Penny was coming along. I do remember when Penny was coming along and what he was doing. And obviously, every time I've been around him and certainly meeting him, you know, he's a class guy, and you know, he's going to do a great job there, and it's obviously what he's doing. They've recruited extremely well, and so I'm excited for the state of Tennessee. I think there's great basketball in this state. Whether you start from East Tennessee, work all the way across, there's some coaches in this state that have been here a while, have done a great job, and I just think Tennessee is a great basketball state, and I just want to see that continue to grow while we're here.
I'm wrapping up here with Rick Barnes, head coach of the Tennessee Volunteers. They are ranked third in the country right now, behind only Kansas and Duke. My understanding is that you like the idea of playing Memphis. I know Penny sees the value in this intrastate series. Is this something Memphis fans and Tennessee fans can plan on seeing annually, the Vols and Tigers playing?
Well, you know, the whole conversation started when we first got here at Tennessee, you know, 4 years ago. We wanted to play a national schedule. And I will be very honest with you. People said, why is Tennessee and Memphis not playing?
Right.
Because, you know, there's a history there. And, you know, I grew up, like, and you said it about, you know, Memphis is a great basketball town. And Memphis is in the state of Tennessee. And so for recruiting purposes and for everything, you know, you want all the exposure you can get. But at the time when Tubby had gotten there and we started talking about it, their schedule wasn't right. We had gotten in a deal with North Carolina and Gonzaga, then Georgia Tech and Wake Forest. But this past year, we were able to put it together. And the way the contract is right now, it's a three-year contract where we will go there, they come here, and then we go to Nashville. And what I would love to see when it's in Nashville is that we do make it a great day of basketball for the state of Tennessee. That it's not just one game, but it's a lot. It's as many games as we can pack into Nashville that day, just to really have a celebration for Tennessee basketball, and I hope we can do that. And then from there, you know, it's a three-year contract, and then we'll go from there.
Oh, that sounds like a great idea. That's Rick Barnes. He's the head coach of the Tennessee Volunteers. They're ranked third in the Associated Press poll. They're going to be playing the Tigers this weekend inside FedEx Forum. Rick, I can't congratulate you enough on how well last season went, how well this season is going. I told you privately, I'll tell you publicly, it is amazing what you've been able to do there. And how quickly you've been able to do it. I look forward to seeing you this weekend.
Thanks, Gary. Same here. We're still in December, so we got a long way to go.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.